Well, good evening, and we want to welcome you to Calvary Baptist Church Sunday night service. And thank you for joining us tonight, as you faithfully do week in and week out. And hello, Calvary members, and thank you for tuning in. And we had a wonderful service this morning. It was really great being here at God's house, but Lord has a way of just sliding in on you and doing something special. We had the choir back singing this morning, and I know that you've seen that, and that just looked so good up here in the choir loft spread out. And we appreciate Brother Allen and leading the choir and doing what he does. And then we looked at some things out of Genesis chapter number 2 about Adam's place. We hope that was some kind of help to you. We enjoyed studying it. And that familiar story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And just a quick little recap. That place that Adam was at, it was a place of blessing, a place of purpose. It was a place of fellowship, but also it was a place of defeat. And the very best place for us to be is in the place that God wants us to be in life, to serve where the blessings are at, provisions, I should clarify, fellowship, but always, always be on our guard because the enemy's around the corner. Nonetheless, it's a brand new service tonight, and we're so excited about being here. We have a couple songs. Brother Randy, Lord willing, he's going to sing tonight on the piano. And I want to say appreciate Brother LC back in the back working the sound and the audio, audio and sound. We appreciate that. I have to make mention of this because it hasn't been been our story yet, as we've been doing Facebook Live since March, and probably other times before. We, from the service this morning, we're approaching 850 views. That's just tremendous to us. We the Lord evidently blessed tremendously. And well, no doubt he did, but we normally, you know, we average a quarter of that, probably. And to see that this morning truly encouraged our hearts. And so let's do it again tonight. If you have a friend, family member, Calvary, just invite them and do a party live post there on your page. That'd be great. And thanks again for watching. We appreciate you. We love you. And at this time, we're going to go to the Lord in a quick word of prayer. And then we're going to toss it back to Brother Randy and let Brother Randy lead us in music tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' name this evening. And Lord, we're so very thankful that when we are weak, you are strong. Father, there's so many that are weak tonight because of this coronavirus. There's others that are weak tonight. Really, may not have anything to do with the virus, just other things in their life, maybe weak in faith, maybe weak in some area. But Lord, we know that you are greater than any of our weaknesses. And so tonight, strengthen the brethren, Lord. I pray that you'll use Brother Randy to strengthen the brethren. And Father, use me tonight to strengthen God's people and those watching. Lord, that's our prayer. That's the ministry of the local church, to strengthen one another and get the gospel out. So, Lord, that's the agenda for this evening, to praise you and to minister, Lord, to you and for the people. We pray that that by the time the service is over, we all could say that it has been a great time in God's house. We love you. We thank you. We praise you, of course. Oh God, be with our president, be with our officials, all of those in government, all of our first responders, be with our world and all the churches. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Brother Justin, before I try to sing what I think God's laid on my heart tonight, or what I feel like God's laid, not so much what I think, I want to share a little story with you. I don't share this often, but these two songs that I'm fixing to do tonight are songs that changed me in kind of a strange way. For those of you who know me, or may not know, I worked in radio for several years at WDCY Radio, and I used to work all late-hour shifts at the station, take them off the air. And then on the weekends, I usually worked Saturday, all day Saturday by myself. And I was in there one day, and I'll just be honest with you, I was not having the best day. And things had just kind of reached a point in my life where it just, I don't want to go into a lot of details, but it's just one of those days, you know, where you just sit there and it just seems like nothing you could do, nothing you could say, nowhere you could turn. And I just felt like I was just basically there and just doing my job. But this is during the time when we didn't have the luxury like we do now of having computers and everything set up. So we had to physically pick up a CD or a CD or cassette or an album. And we had to choose what we wanted to play, and we put it in the player, and we queued it up to play. Well, I had chosen a song. This wasn't the song that I chose. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. But I chose this song thinking this is what I wanted to play for this particular segment of the station. And I'm sitting there, and I hit play. And when I hit play, this song come on. Empty and broken, I came back to him, a vessel unworthy and so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions this clay. Vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus, he didn't throw the clay away. He is the potter, and I am molded in his likeness. You see, he wants me to stay. But when I stumble and fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up all those old pieces and he doesn't throw the clay away. He molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions his clay, a vessel of honor I am today, and it's all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today. folks, I was sitting there in the middle of that studio all by myself. And during the time when it seemed like nothing was going the way it should, it seemed like everything was just falling apart in my life and in my world. And I'm sitting there in that studio, and it's probably not the smartest thing you've ever done is not being able to see what you're doing when you're working in a radio station. But I picked up another CD, and I had thrown it in the machine while I'm sitting there listening to this one, and I'm just like I am right now. I'm a mess. I was just sitting there all by myself, and God just blessing the fire out of me because what was all going on. And I queued up this other song, and I was hoping to hear another song. But instead,
bless my heart, I lost my words.
But instead, this song was what I got next. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. How about that? He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. Think about that. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he'll satisfy. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. Listen to this. He's all I need. I will not turn, listen to this, to any other. Why? Cause he's a friend that's closer than any brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as time goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me. Listen to this. When I'm weary, it eases every pain. Guess what? He fills my deepest longing time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. And he's all I need. He's all I need. Is all I need. Friend, listen to this. He's all you need. He's all you're ever gonna need. Jesus is all we need. You may sit there tonight and you may say, well, Brother Andy, that's good. That's great. But what you don't understand is those were not the songs that I chose for me to play that day. Those were songs that God chose for me to hear. And as I sit there in that studio all by myself, Brother Justin, Miss Christie, the power of God just filled that room. And I told Justin, I was just sitting in the middle of the floor. If anybody had come by, they would have thought I lost my mind. I was just sitting there in the middle of the floor and just thinking, you know what? He's all we need. When we ain't got nothing else, when nothing else, we've got words. Yes, what else do we need? May be lost. The Bible said I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, as the song says, but now I see. Amen. Even though we may look through a glass dimly now, when things look bad, things look rough around us at times, and it seems like there ain't gonna be no end, there ain't no tomorrow. But let me tell you, folks, God's all we need.
Amen.
And He's all we ever gonna need.
Well, praise the Lord this evening. We appreciate and cherish those moments where the Lord moves upon the human heart to give testimony of God's goodness. And I know several tonight that could give the same testimony of the Lord coming their way and being real to them. I know He has to me, and we appreciate that from the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Randy, pouring your heart out to us tonight through song and testimony. Tonight I do want to ask if the church would continue to remember Captain Ross, Brother Allen, Clayton's captain. And he's seems like it's been up and down with him and his getting well, his wellness. His wife is at home from what I hear, but Captain Ross is still hospitalized. And so let's remember him in prayer. And let's continue to remember Miss Barbara Anderson in prayer as she is at the Powder Springs Rehabilitation Center. Let's remember her and all the rest that are on our prayer list. Let's remember each and every person as we begin this new week. The book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter number 15. Luke 15. And we're going to share some things tonight that Phil is for this service, and we hope it'll be a help and a blessing, and maybe even learn a few things. That's part of the objective, right, is to learn, but also to be encouraged, to be challenged, and even convicted at times. And so Luke chapter number 15, I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and before we begin our message tonight. Father, thank you for the music tonight that has a message. Thank you for Brother Randy's heart. Thank you for LC that serves faithfully behind the scenes in the sound room. Thank you for my wife and my daughter who are the faithful camera women that help week in and week out. Thank you for them. Use us now and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Book of Luke tonight, Gospel of Luke, is where we're going to be, chapter number 15. And I want to say that in Luke 15 this evening, we have three accounts of lost things. In verse number 1 through 7, we have the lost sheep. Verse number 8, 9, and 10, we have the account of the lost coin. And then in verse number 11 through verse number 32, the conclusion of chapter 15, there's the lost son or the prodigal son. And these are three sets of lost things. And tonight I want to just look at all three of these. We're not going to be verse by verse. We're just going to glean some common denominators in these three sets of lost things and see what we can find. You know, the story doesn't end here. These three accounts do not end with things being lost, but they end with these things being found. And what a wonderful picture here in Luke 15 that we have in these three accounts of something that was lost, whether a sheep, coin, or a son, but that wasn't the end of the story. These things were found. And I'm thankful, Brother Randy, for your testimony earlier, just a moment ago, on the keyboard, because Brother Randy wasn't, I'm sure, giving a testimony of his salvation there, but he was giving testimony of how the Lord came to him. And I'm thankful tonight that the Lord comes to us. He is the pursuing shepherd. He's the one who values lost souls. He values those that belong to Him. And I'm glad tonight that we have a Heavenly Father whose eyes are on that long, dusty road when we may have strayed, we may have become a prodigal, yet He is watching for us to come home. And what a blessing that is. Tonight I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, God's lost and found. God's lost and found. I remember when I was in middle school, believe it or not, I can remember that. And I was in middle school. We moved around a lot when we were young in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi. And I can remember going to pretty much a different school through all that process. But there's one thing I remember, even at the end of elementary school, that there was always a lost and found. I remember on one occasion, true story, really happened. And I remember one occasion that Mom and Dad had bought me a pullover starter jacket. Don't know if anybody remembers those in the 90s. They were these pullover starter jackets, and they had sports teams. I remember my brother had a Miami Dolphins one. I'm pretty sure Brother Larry Bennett would say amen if he was here to that. Miami Dolphins one, big old, you know, all those colors. But I had Atlanta Braves one. And I left it in class one day and went on about my day, and I realized, hey, I don't have my jacket, my starter jacket. And so I went to the lost and found. And when I went to the lost and found, I was rummaging through there, and lo and behold, in the bottom of the tub of that day, lied my Atlanta Braves starter jacket. And you can believe I was happy when I found that thing. Those were trendy back then. And who knows, they can become trendy if we start sporting them now. There was excitement when I found that Atlanta Braves starter jacket. It was something that was precious to me. I loved it. It kept me warm. But you know, we see in chapter number 15 of the book of Luke that there were three stories, three accounts given here of a sheep that was lost, a coin that was lost, and a son that was lost. And there are three common denominators, and I like to try to pull some of those things out. Again, not verse by verse, just three things that are common in all of these accounts. I want to say that one of the common denominators, as I've been saying already, all three experienced loss, or there was a lostness there. And then all three, there were the things that were found. Then, lastly, there was rejoicing in all three. And so as we read and look into these tonight, these not only can be applicable to those who are not saved, that need to be saved, but there's some truths here for the Christian that's already saved. I want you to notice, number one this evening, the lost sheep. God's lost and found, and there's the lost sheep. Notice in verse number one of chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and listen to this, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. First of all, I want you to notice that there was a lost sheep here. In verse number 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. We see a lost sheep. And we also see that the shepherd, and keep in mind, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and scribes. Of course, they were murmuring at Jesus. He was eating with sinners, and he was talking with them. And so Jesus kind of gives this parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And he says, what man of you, Pharisees and scribes, what man of you, anybody having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Well, he knew what kind of people these Pharisees and scribes were. Man, they were all about mine and what's rightfully belongs to me. All about gimme, 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 so to speak. The Pharisees being according to the law and keeping the law, so trying to keep to the law. And so Jesus kind of brings it home, and he brings up this situation of 100 sheep and one being lost. And he says that, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and listen to this, and go after that which is lost until he find it? Well, those Pharisees and Sadducees knew exactly what they would do over that one. I mean, they had 99 more, but they wanted that one. And Jesus knew they would go after that one. And so he was preaching to the heart. He was applying an earthly story with a heavenly meaning to the heart. And he said, you would go after that one. And I want to say tonight that that's exactly what our heavenly shepherd does. He goes after sinners. He goes after those that are not saved. And he speaks to those through his word that are not saved. Aren't you glad tonight the Lord went after you and went after you? And I'm glad tonight the Lord pursued me. And my life was very chaotic and a lot of chaos until the day that I got born again. But he was the relentless shepherd. He was pursuing me with his grace and his mercy and calling me in life until the point of salvation. It was sad. It was purposeless. I was just roaming through each and every day, aimlessly roaming this world. But the good shepherd, this pursuing, relentless shepherd, kept on and on and on. And then that faithful day, November 19th, 2002, is when I said yes to Jesus, the shepherd. And he came into my heart, and he changed my life. And now I am pursuing the shepherd. You see, that's the way it works. The shepherd, he pursues after those that don't know him. And then once he finds us, then we pursue after him. There's a book out, it's been out for a long time, by A.W. Tozer. And it's The Pursuit of God. And it talks about man's pursuit of the Lord, those that know Jesus. But then there was another book out called God's Pursuit of Man. And you see, when it comes to God's economy, the Lord pursues man first. And then after the Lord finds man and convicts man of his sin, and man says yes to Jesus and opens their heart to the Lord, then man pursues God. There's all kinds of religions tonight where it's on the flip side. They don't have Jesus in their heart, yet they're trying to pursue God. And there's all kinds of spiritual exercises they go through, all kinds of sacraments, and especially in the Catholic Church, all kinds of religious exercises and sacraments even, by which they're basing their salvation upon. Well, if we have this Holy Communion, then we have literally taken of the body of Jesus, which is not possible. And then maybe you crawl into a confessional and you confess your sins to an earthly priest, and they feel like that they're clean for that day. All of these things, they have it backwards. They're trying to pursue God without first of all, God pursuing them and capturing their heart and mind. Then that person pursues God. But we see in verse number 4 that there was something lost. And it was one of the sheep. And the shepherd goes after that which was lost until he finds it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5. I want to mention this while we're going through these. In verse number 5, he says, "And when he hath found it," check this out, "he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing." That little lamb, that lamb, that sheep, I'm sure it was tired from its journey, in verse number 4 says, in the wilderness. I like the song that says, it's just about home time. I can see the bright light shine. In that song, it goes on and it talks about this world has been a wilderness. And I'm so ready for deliverance. Jesus tonight gives deliverance. This little lamb, this sheep was so tired of running from the shepherd. It was lost. It was in the wilderness. Somehow it got separated. And keep in mind, this is a parable. Jesus is trying to explain a main subject matter here, and that is something was lost and then found. But it was in the wilderness. It was by itself. It was cold. It was lonely. Had no direction. But then in verse number 5, it was found. And when it was found, the Bible says, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. You ever seen the imagery of the shepherd with the sheep laying across its back and just holding that sheep, giving it rest? Well, the Bible says, "Come unto me," in Matthew, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you going through life tonight? Are you toiling? Are you aimlessly just trying to navigate through life? No sense of direction? Come to the shepherd tonight. He will give you rest. Maybe you already know Jesus, but yet you're just overladen with care. And you're overladen with concern. Tell it to Jesus tonight. Tell it to him. You know, the Lord has a way of visiting us, like Brother Randy said in his testimony. And there's been times in my life, and I'm sure times in your life, when you were at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and you felt like there was no way out, and probably there were no more bridges to cross. Bridges have been burnt. All kinds of things have gone wrong in your life. You were at the bottom, but then came Jesus right on time. The Bible says in verse 5, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." And so when it comes to this lost sheep, there was lostness here. The sheep was lost. But then the sheep was found. Verse number 5. But not only the sheep was lost, the sheep was found, but there was rejoicing when he brought the sheep home. Look in verse number 6. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Verse number 7 is pretty amazing. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." He says over one person that gets saved, there is joy in heaven. There is rejoicing in heaven. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven." You know what that tells me? That tells me not only we have a connection on earth and in heaven, but the moment a soul gets saved, there is an instant connection. There is a heavenly vibration from earth to heaven the moment a lost person comes to Jesus. I mean, the shepherd seeks the lamb. The shepherd seeks the lost person, and then the lost person says yes to Jesus, and there is a vibration from earth to heaven. Folks, whether we realize it or not, tonight we have a connection to heaven. And the Bible says that when one person, verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. What a blessing that is. I've often wondered if people in heaven know the things that are taking place on earth. And probably not, probably not. But there's one thing that I'm sure they know is when one person gets saved. I'm not sure how it happens. I'm not sure if there's a heaven bell up there that says born again and it starts to ring. And in my mind, I kind of paint that imagery. But there's one thing about it. There is a connection from earth to heaven over one person that gets saved. Let's look at the second story here in verse number 8 down through verse number 10. Not only there's the lost sheep, but there's the lost coin. In verse number 8, the Bible says, either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. In these three short verses, we also see something lost, something found, and people or a place of rejoicing. We've seen it in the lost sheep. Now we're looking at the lost coin. Keep in mind, we're talking about God's lost and found. In verse number 8, there's a picture now of a woman having 10 pieces of silver. That's quite the contrast from a person having 100 sheep and losing one. Now there's a woman with 10 pieces of silver and she lost one, but she is very much so desirous of recovering that one. In verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I want you to notice that this woman here, she has an amount of money, not a lot. At face value here, 10 pieces of silver. We're not getting into all the ins and outs of that tonight for the sake of time. But she just lost one. But you see, that one meant so much to her that she went to searching for that one. And in this imagery, it's not a sheep in the wilderness, but it's a coin in the dirt. And we have a picture of a woman that she's lost her one piece, and now she has lit a candle, and she is seeking diligently. She is seeking and she is sweeping. Seeking and sweeping the house. And seek diligently till she find it. So the picture is this, is that she lost her coin, and she has lit the candle, and she's searching. You know, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So she's searching the house, looking every corner. And then not only does she have the candle, but she has the broom, and she's sweeping and knocking off that dirt. And what we have here, we have a picture of Jesus coming to us in the muck and in the mire of this world. Listen, the Lord, he can look in the filth, in the garbage for lost souls. He wants to look in the mire, in the muck of this world for those who cannot help themselves, that need salvation. This woman, she has the light. She's sweeping. She's looking. But you know, that's the Lord tonight. From the light of his word going forth by gospel ministers and teachers, the light is being sounded from pulpits across this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And there are souls that come into the church house and watching my Facebook, and you have all of this dirt. You're in the middle of you're in the muck. You're in the mire, as David said, the miry clay. You can't get out. Yet the sweet Holy Spirit, through the power of God's word, is making his way to us. And that's the shape you were in. We all have different stories. That's the shape I was in. Some a little bit worse than others. But it all is level grounds. At the cross, we all needed salvation. And so there was sweeping going on. Bible says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. In verse number 9 says, and when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. And so the lost coin, it was lost. The lost coin, it was found. And there was also rejoicing over this lost coin. The Bible says again in verse number 9 in the middle part, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Again in verse number 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I was thinking about this today, last night and today. Now we have a standing, our position is a standing position. We are standing in grace, the Bible says in Romans 6. We're standing in grace. There is no more middle wall of partition between us and God. We can go into the throne room. God can hear our prayers. And so that is activity in heaven, from earth to heaven. We can enter into the throne room. God can hear our prayers, those that are saved. He hears a sinner's prayer. That's activity in heaven. But also, again, there is other activity from earth to heaven. And that is, when a lost person gets saved, there is joy in the presence of the angels, the Bible says in verse number 10. Folks, we have a closer connection to heaven than we really think. We can go into the throne room of God and pray. We can tell somebody about Jesus and they can accept the plan of salvation. There's rejoicing in heaven. And then praise the Lord, one day, Brother Randy, we will be in heaven and be complete. The lost coin, lost, found, rejoicing. The lost sheep, lost, found, rejoicing. And then lastly, there's the lost son, or we say prodigal son. And again, we're not going to go over all these verses, but verse number 11 says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I don't know how much that portion was that was allotted to this son. And no doubt the father had worked hard his whole life. And now, not many days hence, all the portion that was to the son was gone. With riotous living, the Bible says in verse 13. Verse number 14, and when, notice this, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I kind of think of verse number 14 as a divine appointment from God, a divine providence, because in verse 14 he had spent all that he had, and at the same time there was a famine in the land. I mean, he was at a place where he was broke, and at the same time there was a famine in the land. And he began to be in want. Many times when we veer from God, we venture from him, possibly even stray from him, the Lord sometimes by providence allows us to be closed in, so to speak, where there's nothing coming in, there's nothing going out, and we began to be in want. Well, that was the condition of this son. Verse 15, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He was sent into the fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You could see his condition. It was spiraling out of control. He was getting closer and closer to that place of repentance. He would have even ate the Bible says, the husks that the swine did eat, but nobody gave that to him. Not only is he away from home, not only he has no means, but he is being rejected. Could it be that all of these things was pointing him back to the Father's house? I think so. And you see, the idea here is that when the Lord, especially when the Lord seeks and saves, and then we stray, if that happens, listen, he will chasten us because he loves us. And what I see in this story is, I heard the son preached before being lost. I heard him preach being saved that strayed. Either way you look at it, he was at a place of vulnerability. And then in verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I feel like he reached a place of repentance, a change of mind. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he made his way back home. Verse number 18, I will arise and go to my father. And he rehearsed what he would say and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. This was the condition of this son. He was lost, or he strayed, and he came to himself, and now he is rehearsed his words. He's on the way back to the Father's house where the provisions are at. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. You've heard it before, but I'll say it again. Number one, the father was looking for the return of the son. And thanks be unto God tonight, the times we stray, the times we say yes to things we should have said no to, and vice versa, that God did not discharge us, turn his back on us, but he is faithfully watching for us to come to him and ask for forgiveness. The Bible says again in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Tonight, if you're watching and you are away from the Lord, or it's been a long time since you prayed and asked God to help you, I want to say that the Father's looking for you tonight. You can be a great way off and he still sees you. You may need salvation, or you just may need rededication. Number two, in verse number 20, his father saw him, notice this, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Kissed him. It was law. It was the rights of a father who had a rebellious son that would leave home such as he did and spend all of his portion of the inheritance to crush his neck. But you see, this father portrays a picture not of a earthly father, but that of a heavenly father. He watched a great way off, and this shows us that God is looking for our return to come to him. He had compassion, and he ran to the son and fell on his neck and kissed him. Didn't crush him, but he kissed him. Why don't you let God kiss you tonight? Let the Lord kiss you tonight with kisses of forgiveness, kisses of compassion. He ran, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, the father disagreed with how the son felt because of verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. This father, not only he, in essence, said, you're worthy, you belong to me, but he covered this son with a robe. He put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Verse number 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. In this account of the lost son, he was lost, he was found, and there was rejoicing at the house. Again, these three stories tonight, the one of the lost sheep, the lost coin, lost son, have three things in common. There was something lost, something found, and there was rejoicing. Folks, tonight we have God's lost and found before us. If you're not saved, if you do not know with an absolute surety, if you die tonight, heaven will be your home. Let the Lord save you. Let him find you. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me. Father, I don't want to die and pay for my sins, my penalty of sin in hell. I claim your forgiveness, what you did for me, the price you paid on the cross. I accept your salvation. I repent of my sin. Be the Lord of my life and change my life. I can't impute that to you. I can't pray that on your behalf, but you can pray if you need to. In Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need salvation, the Lord will save you tonight. If you're already saved and you just need rededication, you don't have to get saved all over again. You just want to say, Lord, I'm back. I'm home. Then you do that. Whatever the case is, whatever the situation may be, as we play a verse, we'll give a virtual invitation and we'll close out the evening. You do business with the Lord.